Happy Mother's Day, everybody. How many of you are in your pajamas still? All right? Yay. Happy Mother's Day. Happy morning. Let me make sure that I got my notes. I say stuff correctly. We're in our series on knowing God. And 3 weeks ago, we started with God's supremacy and his sovereignty. Then we talked about his holiness and righteousness. And then last week we talked about radical justice, the justice of God. We're talking about attributes of God. And then today we're going to talk about his attribute that God is love, all-consuming love. And we're going to continue on with a series of the attributes of God. And that's going to go on for a couple months, I think. And so the elders have been talking and discussing about that. And there's a lot of interest in continuing this. Because how can we love God? How can we display the love of God if we don't know him? We don't want to just know about God. We want to know God. And that's the great opportunity we have now. Some of us have many extended hours by ourselves or not too much happening. And we can spend more time in the word and prayer and getting together with friends and so forth. And I want to give you another announcement. One of our eldership couples several years ago stepped off of eldership or took a step sideways. That's Logan and Amanda Lemming. And they were on eldership for over 10 years at Westside. And just because of circumstances in their life, like, jobs and kids and so forth, and Logan had an accident, and there was a season where they wanted to take a step backwards. And we found it increasingly desirable to invite them back onto the eldership team. God has positioned them in a way to where they can do that. So they're already ordained through Westside Church, as Logan is as a pastor and an elder. And together they've been on the leadership team for a long time. So next Sunday, we're going to be on Zoom. We're going to be praying for them and re-releasing them into the life of the church. So I'm very, very excited about that. So, but before we get into the love of God, I just want to say a couple things about Mother's Day. Is first of all, we honor all women today. And so we want to make sure that, you know, sometimes Mother's Day is not so good for a few people. Most people it is, but a few people it's very painful. And there's legitimate reasons for that. So, but we're honoring women today. And just a few observations. I like to observe things. I thought about the phrase working mother. I think that is redundant, right? That's redundant. That's a redundant phrase. And so it's not easy being a mother. And if it were easy, fathers would do it, right? all right. So, okay. One more. There was a mother of three very, very active children and was asked whether or not she'd have children if she had to do it all over again. She said, yes, just not the same ones. So. So anyway, I like jokes. I used to tell jokes all the time before I started, but now we don't have time. But today is a special day. We love you moms. We love you ladies. We are going to celebrate all the ladies right after this service. We're on the Westside campus on Missouri Flat. Right after this service, we are going to have a Mother's Day parade starring the ladies. So here's what you're going to do is get ready, pile the kids in the car, come here, come by yourself, come with somebody, and come into the entrance driveway and just follow the instructions. Stay in your cars, all right? You can roll down the windows if you like, and we will safely socially distance and so forth. But there'll be about five or six stations around the parking lot. It'll just be a big U-turn, and then you make your way out. And so we're going to give you a coffee and a donut. We're going to give you a flower. We're going to have several surprises for the ladies. And we're also going to give you a raffle ticket when you come in. And that's the last thing you'll do is deposit on your way out. The grand prize for the raffle is a $200 Amazon card. So it is worth it to come here. And if you pop the tires of everybody else and you're the only one here, you got a good chance of winning. So we want to just say happy Mother's Day. The eldership couples will be here and some staff will be here just to say hi and wave hi and so forth. It's going to be great and looking forward to it. And there's a second prize of $100. So it gets pretty good. There's a third prize of $50, so it's really worth it. to come here. We just want to say thank you for all that you do. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be an opportunity to get out. It's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday, and we're looking forward to seeing you. So today's talk is on the love of God, all-consuming love. It's just an amazing thing. So Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to lead us and guide us into all truth, the eternal truths of your word. God, we can't understand in our own strength, in our own intellect, but you can illumine the word of God to us and make it applicable to each one of us. I pray for each person this morning, as they're in their homes or in their car, in the backyard, that you would just be present with them and they would feel your tangible presence and they would know that we are joining together as a church body today. Thank you, Lord, for your promises and the fulfillment of those. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the attribute of the love of God and some of the characteristics of that, and then we're going to make some application for it. First of all, the love of God is uninfluenced. And once again, when we're talking about Almighty God, there is a lot of scripture here. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture here today, and you'll just see the broad, sweeping overview of the love of God toward all of us. Deuteronomy 7, 7 to 8, the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. And he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So the love of God is not influenced by anybody. Nobody bribed him to love us. Nobody made him do anything. He wanted to. It's not influenced by anything except his own desire, his own choice to create human beings to love us. So the love of God is free. It's spontaneous. It's uncaused. That means it was not caused by us, certainly, or it was not caused by anything. Number two, the love of God is eternal. The love of God is eternal. Jeremiah 31:3, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love I have drawn you to myself. Now I want you to know that in Scripture, when you see the word eternal or everlasting, it's not how we use it sometimes, like, Mom, I had to wait forever for you. All right? That kind of forever is not the same as when God says it's forever. When he says it's forever, it's forever. It's everlasting. His love for us is eternal. Number three, the love of God is sovereign. It's sovereign. Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, we spoke about the sovereignty of God a few weeks ago, and there is this two truths in tension about the sovereignty of God and man's free will. And so we know that God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, he chose to give us a will. And you just have to settle the fact. And sometimes people spin in circles with that and can't quite work through that. I'll tell you what, we'll never work through who God is. In how awesome he is. We have tidbits and little bits of understanding to know how great God is. Number four, the love of God is infinite. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so just a reminder to you, when there's no references, most of my references I preach out of the New Living Translation, NLT. If it's another translation, I'll let you know, like English Standard Version, ESV, or New Living, New International Version, NIV, and so forth. Or Kate, I got a King James in here today for you. All right? Number five, the love of God is immutable. James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to worry about him being a little cheeky or impetuous and changing his mind this week and next week. God is our rock and he's our anchor. Number six, the love of God is holy. Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Remember, holiness and righteousness and purity line up there. And because he is holy, he loves us enough not to leave us the same. Aren't you glad? God loves you so much that he won't leave you the way you are, that he wants to refine you. And he does that. Whom the Lord loves, he reproves. And so, parents, if you love your children, you're going to train them and discipline them and so forth. Number seven, the love of God was demonstrated at the cross. These are all things that point us to the different aspects of the love of God. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God's love was even demonstrated to us at the cross. God loved you when Jesus hung there on the cross with the weight of the world on himself. Your sin, my sin, it was the love of God for us that Jesus went to the cross for. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. Remember, the word of God leads us to worship. Number eight, the love of God was proved at the resurrection. Not only the crucifixion. Sometimes we just stop with the crucifixion. It didn't stop there. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, as he promised. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives. Christ lives. He lives in me. And so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It might be a nice sentiment, say, oh, Jesus loved me so much that he died for me. No, he loved me so much that he died for me and he rose again and he still loves me today. That's an amazing thing about the love of God. And finally, the last one I have on the love of God, a scripture for us, is out of Romans. And it's a familiar passage here. And here's what he says in Romans 8:31 to 39. This is an amazing passage. I encourage you to read this several times to yourself or to the family at the dinner table this week. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are being slaughtered like sheep. That's Paul in his long sentences right there. He's coming back to his idea here. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to stand up and say, amen. 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 That is awesome. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. God is love, and his love is all-consuming. It's an amazing thing. Don't you just love him? I'm so amazed how much he loves us, and that he would even be mindful of us. Wow. Okay, we're going to get practical here. Okay, moms? We're honoring moms today. Romans 12, It says verses 1 to 21. It's not. There's a whole passage there. That's the whole chapter. I memorized that a few years ago when our kids were tiny. It was a contest at church, and I memorized the whole chapter in King James, and I don't remember it all, but it kind of flows pretty easy when I read it because I memorized it. So Paul says there, love each other with genuine affection. You know what that means? It means not fake. Genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. So we're honoring mothers today, as we should every day, right? And we honor each other as well. And so particularly in our culture, it's a great deal. I think it's a great thing. Some people don't like it because it's Hallmark. So what? Let's take the opportunity, every opportunity, do good and honor our parents. And if you told your mom, I'm not honoring you today because Hallmark invented it, it won't go over very well, all right? You need to honor her today and every day, all right? So here's some practical stuff. First some insights. Number one, honoring your mother is a command in Scripture. It's not just a suggestion. A lot of times we think that Jesus just suggested things for us. Or somebody said that the Ten Commandments should more likely be called the Ten Suggestions. No, they're actually commandments, all right? Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. All right. So number two, Paul reiterated this in the New Testament. He reviewed this and reminded people that this was the first command in the Old Testament that had a promise attached to it. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Parents, remember that. Though your children belong to the Lord. You are caretakers. You are stewards of those children. Of course, we say those are my kids and you're the highest human authority in their life. The state is not the highest human authority in your children's life. You are. But you have to answer to God because they belong to Him. You're a steward of those precious lives. And so, Paul says, honor your father and mother. He's saying what this is the commandment. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, I know some awesome godly people have not seemed to have had long lives on this earth, so I'm not quite sure what that means. But I do know what the thing that it may go well with you. I know a lot of believers who things never seem to go well. And when you really get in close and you dig down deep, you find out that they do not honor their parents. And I want to encourage you, take that commandment to heart. You want things to go well for you? Start here. Start by submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and honor your parents. And so I think this is a pretty amazing thing. Number two, we're on number two. The Bible doesn't say love your mother, young people. It doesn't say love your mother until you're 18. And then after that, you don't have to. No, it says honor your mother, love your mother, honor your parents. This is what you're supposed to do. And there's nothing in the Bible about when you turn 18. The Bible doesn't say honor your mother if she deserves it. Now, I know most of us have mothers that we deeply care for and love. They were great examples. Sometimes some among us may not have had a great example, or they might not even have known their mother, and so forth. And it's a painful thing. The Bible doesn't say, okay, if they deserve it, you can honor them. No, it just says honor your mother. It doesn't say honor your mother, older folks, while she's living. All right, she's gone now, and I don't have to honor her. No, we still honor. I just wrote a blog this week about my two moms. I was privileged to have two moms. And so you can go on westsideinfo.com, go to Steve's blogs, and you can read that. And it's going to be released on last Friday, so you might have already read it. Number three, added to this is the fact that we honor others before ourselves. There's the old song. When I was a kid, it was the joy song, Jesus, then others, then you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, you. I'll tell you what, if we put Jesus first and put others before ourselves, we are going to be full of joy. In verse 10 of Romans 12, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. In the ESV version, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I think that's my favorite one, is outdo each other in showing honor. I love that. And the New King James says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So the Bible's very clear that we are to honor each other. And particularly today, moms, we're honoring you, ladies. So let's apply this a little bit more practically. Number one, first of all, honor your mother, not just once a year. Like I've said, honor her every day. And for those of you whose mothers have passed, and if they passed recently, it can be quite a painful time. Maybe if this is the first time. I understand that. My mom passed away 2 years ago, and I conducted her memorial service. It wasn't easy, but I wanted to honor her, and I wanted to honor her legacy. And when we had 65 relatives, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and great-great-grandkids there, they heard her salvation story. They heard the gospel. And I wanted to honor her in that way. Ephesians 4:2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And so honor your moms. There's no perfect mother in the world. And there's things that every mother wishes that they had done differently. And they probably carry that their whole life. But be gracious. And just like you want God to forgive you, we want to forgive others. So we're called to love unconditionally. When we are to love one another, that love is agape love, God's unconditional love. We are called to love our moms just like God loves them. And we love each other. And you're to forgive her compassionately. Since there are no perfect mothers, at times we have to forgive them. And we want our whole heart to be in it. Really. And I just want to say this. If you have issues with your mother, I pray that God will bring healing to you right now while I'm talking about it. And I just want to say this. You have never walked in her shoes. A lot of times we judge people through our experiences in life, but we never walked in their shoes. We never grew up when they did. We didn't have their upbringing and so forth. And so just be compassionate as we forgive. And also remember her gratefully. I want to encourage you. If your mother's living, call her up today. Somehow contact her and tell her, thank you for birthing me. Thank you for carrying me 9 months. And thank her for all she did for you when you were young. And if you are fortunate enough to have a mother who didn't birth you and loves you just as much, thank her for every time she took care of you or cooked you a meal or made your bed or did the laundry or went out and worked in addition to all that stuff to earn some extra money for the household or change your dirty diapers. There's all kinds of things that you can thank your mother for. Seriously, it's a big deal. And there's very few things that are more hurtful than being forgotten and being unappreciated. And so I want to encourage you, especially as you get older and busy with your own kids and so forth, make sure you keep time for honoring your mom and make room for her in your busy schedule because she made a lot of sacrifices for you. And then treat her kindly. Let your mom know she's valued. Take time to listen when she talks. And if you're getting older, and older means you're old enough to understand what I'm saying right now. If you're getting older, try to stop doing the eye roll thing. Oh, mom, you know that thing? Try to stop doing that and really listen to her because she's actually speaking God's words to you, words of love and compassion and comfort, sometimes instruction and discipline. And moms, try to represent Jesus accurately. when you're mothering, and accept her advice. There's a really funny commercial on now. The girl asks her dad for advice about finances. He says something just way out in left field, and she goes, oh, okay, thank you, like this. So sometimes you may not quite get what they're saying, but honor them and thank them for taking the time. And that, you know, those are some of the ways that we can honor. So number two, honor all women. All right. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So ladies, we are so thankful for you today. Now, some that are listening to me today may have never borne a child, and they desperately wanted to. And I'll never know that heartache. I never will. But I want you to know that I love you, and I'm praying for you, and that God knows you, and the Lord can be your comfort. Yeah. Seriously. Don't run away from times like these. Just say, God, thanks. I'll do what I can. Because you can be a mom to many. You could be a friend, a big sister, an auntie, a grandma, a substitute mom, a foster adopt mom. There's all kinds of ways that you can make a difference in other people's lives. And you and your perspective and your gift are of immeasurable value to people. So thank you so much. We honor you today. 1 Timothy 5:2 says, treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. And so that is really good relational advice, especially for guys. Treat older women as your mother and treat younger women as your sister. So sometimes guys' minds, especially young men, their mind gets away on them. You wouldn't think that way about your sister, that's for sure. Sometimes the thoughts that we have, that's really good relational advice. But ladies, we appreciate you. And so there are many of you who are moms to many, and many of you who are sisters to many, and we thank you for who you are. And we want to treat you that way. Even ladies can treat other ladies as moms and sisters and so forth. And number three, we want to honor each other. It's always my plug to have a culture of honor. We want to encourage that in our homes, among husband and wife, to outdo one another in showing honor. This culture of honor is a big deal. The world is showing less and less honor, but in the body of Christ, I say it's a distinctive mark upon us that we honor one another, that we genuinely care for one another and love one another. And so here's a question sometimes people ask, what if they don't deserve it? Here's the answer. None of us do. None of us deserve the love and forgiveness and compassion and kindness that God showed us. But in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what he did for us, we do for others. And so, of course, we're going to honor each other. So, what if they're a very hurtful person? Well, love for a hurtful person doesn't come from our own ability. It can't. It's really difficult. But when you ask God for his perspective about that person, he will give you his heart. Because I'll tell you what, when he was on the cross, I don't know how he did it, but he's God, but he thought of you and he thought of them when Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It wasn't just the Roman soldiers in front of him. It wasn't just the religious leaders in front of him. It was you that Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he's big enough to do that, to have each one of us on his heart. So I encourage you to follow Paul's advice in 1 Timothy 5. It says this, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would for your own father. Talk to younger men as you would your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. What a great context there, that we are the family of God and we do honor one another. Today, particularly, we're honoring the moms. And so I just want to say once again, we love you moms. We really do. So please join us in a few minutes as soon as our response time and last worship song is over. But come to the Mother's Day Parade out here in the parking lot of Westside. God bless you.